Asking for a friend, what do you do when you get a little bit loose down there?
A friend, huh?
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Today, we're going to welcome back Dr. Evan Goldstein for this month's Tales from the Tale. We'll be addressing what to do if you're a little or a lot loose in the bum. My name is Tom, and I'm your host. And as always, I'm here with my amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
No cracking
today. No, I know. I was still nervous.
I love it.
I was still nervous.
So, and he's no cracking, a little stiff. It's going to be a great show.
She's always a little stiff.
Don't make me laugh too hard. I will cut you.
Oh, I'll try not to. So, how are you, boys? Welcome back. Here we are, another week. Dr. G is going to join us. I'm super excited about that. And why don't we just jump right into weekends? Christopher, you seem to have had quite the eventful weekend. Why don't you tell us about it?
I did, actually. Friday, of course, as always, I worked my double at the restaurant. Saturday, I only worked lunch, and we actually had, for the I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, but my sister actually got married 2.5 weeks ago. The wedding was in Mexico, and I wasn't able to go to Mexico. So for those people who weren't able to go, they threw a party for my sister at my aunt's house in Enfield. And there was a ton of people there. There was a ton of wine, kegs of beer. There was a pizza truck. But the best part was I got to see family that I haven't seen in years. I haven't seen in years. And friends that I haven't seen in years. And my sister, she looked beautiful. And my now new brother-in-law, he was so excited. And a shout out to my cousin Gina, because she actually listens to our show every week.
Hi, Gina.
So, hi, Gina.
Yes, we love you, Gina. We love your husband, Matt. And hi, yeah, it was a really good time. It was a really fun time. And then Sunday, I just went back to work and all, you know.
But nice.
Yeah, it was nice. My aunt was there from Texas, who I hadn't seen in a while. But yeah, it was fun.
Are you okay?
This mic is like, something's fucking up over on my end. Something's fucking up.
Is it the cord or the mic?
It's coming out of here.
Oh. Try pushing your cord back in a little bit over there.
Our intern, like, replayed with all the equipment
earlier. I'm loving this new intern thing.
Oh, now I can hear myself.
See, there you go. Y'all. Nick or Trish. Chris.
Good to be with y'all. It's Chris.
And Tom. The intern is here with us as well.
Yay, Tom. Yay, Tom. Unpaid intern, by the way.
Truth. Question for you. So you're a little stiff today. What's going on, Chris? Why don't you talk to us?
I'm fucking falling apart. That's what's fucking going on right now.
Say that again.
Right? I know. My neck has been bothered. It had been bothering me for the past 9 days.
My neck.
Shut up.
My back.
I knew she was
going to I was waiting for her. I knew she was going to fit it in some way. No, I started getting actually really nervous because I had tetanus like 4 or 5 years ago.
Ooh.
And that's in. There's like 3 people in the United States a year that get it. And I was one. Yeah, right.
I literally can't.
So when I had tetanus at one time, the pain started in my lower back, and I thought it was just from work, like lifting trays and everything. And then
just pause for a second? I completely understand why, as a child, you had a leash.
Seriously.
I don't argue with that. I think it was a smart decision. Though the bitch was poisoning me, forcing me to drink my milk when I said it made me sick. Anyway.
But she didn't know at the time, right? It's not something she was doing on purpose.
She was like, I'm going to kill him. So when I eventually got tetanus, it started with lower back pain and then worked its way up to my neck. And then eventually I got longer on, I couldn't even move my mouth. I got lockjaw is what I was saying. I couldn't move my mouth. So This pain started to feel like that. So I started getting really nervous. So this morning, after pretty much laying on the floor all night and almost in tears, I was like, you know what? This might not be just neck pain.
But wait a minute. Isn't lockjaw the same, like, symptoms of sucking too much dick?
No.
No, it's tetanus, it's tetanus and rabies, and I didn't have rabies.
Okay.
Well, thank God. I feel like I feel like you can get lockjaw if you suck too much dick. But you know what? We can ask Dr. G.
That's right.
In the second half of the show.
It was not from that. I had two booster shots directly into one of my wounds.
Plus, she's a bottom now, so.
Shut up.
Well, that's true.
Well, I can assure you it's not too tight for today's topic.
Try to rest your head on the pillow easy for the next few weeks.
Oh, no, I have a fancy little scarf now. They give me a nice little scarf.
You want to put it on for our
it's
listeners?
It's like a shawl. Oh, sure.
Lord have mercy. So, yeah, he went to the hospital. Now he's got this little thing that he's got to put on. Let's focus in on that. Oh, this is lovely.
You know, for some reason, I feel like you should have that. You should have had that your entire life. I you can't, like, bite. You can't.
He's got the neck brace, and yet I'm the intern.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know. This is life experience right here.
Now you're going to be like this.
Yeah, exactly. No. Oh, driving with this on the way home from the hospital? I was like, yeah, no, that's going to come off. Like, it's like, I can't see shit. All right, but yeah, enjoy.
Okay, well.
Oh! Sorry.
Anyway, I hope you you feel as well as you can, given the situation.
And I'm driving far away.
I know.
In 2 days.
Where are you going?
Meanwhile.
In Canada!
He's going to Canada.
That's right. I had to cut the trip a little short, but I am going to Montreal. I won't be in Ottawa, but I'll be in Montreal the 8th, Thursday the 8th. Is it the 8th? Thursday through Sunday, I'll be in Montreal. So any of our listeners in the Montreal area, you want to grab a drink, hit us up. It'll be fun.
That's a warning for all you Canadians. I'm just letting you know. He's coming. Anyway, so...
enough about me.
Nick, Trish, how are you and how was your weekend?
My weekend was actually really lame. I was sick, so I was kind of laid up.
We're all fucking falling apart.
I know, but I had like a cold. I didn't have a broken neck. Colds are sort of normal. and so I kind of, it was actually really nice. It sounds kind of bad, but I had two big parties to go to, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, but I was more concerned about getting better, and I did not feel bad about saying, look, I can't make it. Mm-hmm. And I really, I took the time for myself. I went to the grocery store, I stocked my fridge, and I relaxed. I did some laundry, did some stuff around the house. But
did you bring your bags, your own bags?
It was really cool. So I'm walking into the grocery store, and everybody's got, now in Connecticut, you have to bring your own bags, or they charge you 10 cents for a paper bag. And I was like, got to remember, put them in my car. So I put them in my car and I'm walking in, and you see all these people walking in with their canvas totes. And it actually was like,
it's amazing.
Oh my God. Like, look at all these people. I mean, I know you're being forced now, but like, it's so much better for the environment. And I was like, oh, I feel so good seeing all of this happening. And then you see the couple of people that had to buy paper bags, and you're like,
and they're all pissed off.
The plastic ones are the ones that they're charging you for.
No, they're charging you for the paper ones.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the plastic ones are the ones they're supposed to be charging.
They're not selling the plastic ones anymore. So if you need a bag, you pay 10 cents, whether it's paper or plastic. They're not selling plastic anymore.
What,
if you walk in, you don't
this?
See... Stop and Shop. You don't see plastic bags anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got rid of all of them at the restaurant. I called on, I believe it was Monday, the ban or tax went into effect.
On the 2nd.
Yeah, and I called them like, what's up with our bags? And they had already gotten rid of them. They recycled them all. I think it's a fantastic thing. Some people are pissed off about it, but those are people that are blind and don't understand what's going on. Then the other people that are pissed off about it are the elderly, because they also don't understand what's going on. But that's what it is. And this is the way that you phase into a complete and total ban of plastic bags,
which is coming, and I believe in another 2 or 3 years, which, 2021,
yeah,
2021,
I
2022.
Believe it was 2 or 3 years, but yeah. This is the exact way that you phase into a complete and total ban. You put a tax on it, you get people pissed off about it, and then people hopefully will either realize that it's for a good thing or just be so annoyed that they're not going to use them.
Now what I'm going to do is, instead of paying the 10 cents for the plastic bag, is I'll keep buying these reusable bags that I'll never have in my car, and then every time I go into a supermarket, I have to buy more reusable bags, and by the time I'll end up with a pile.
So this is what I've done. I have two sets of canvas bags, and I have one bag that I stuff them all in. Well, two bags, right? And then I always take one into the store with me, and then bring that into the house, and I have one left in my car, so that I always have another one. And mm-hmm. when that goes away, I know I have to put another one in my car.
No, mm-hmm. but the thing is with my fat ass is I go to the supermarket and forget the bags in the car, and I'm not going back to the car. I will buy more bags.
Well, you could just pull your sarong off or whatever the fuck that's sarong and just like wrap it up in there like a little knapsack.
It was so funny. I was talking about it before I went to the store, and I'm like, you're going to see those people that are just pulling out their shirt
oh, yeah.
and shoving the food
oh, yeah, totally.
And, like taking it out like it's a bag.
Oh, on Monday, I forgot my bags. And I was like, oh, there are times I've walked into Big Y, like, you know, walking like this. I was like, I refuse, even before the ban, because I don't like plastic bags.
I went to the to the corner store here, and the guy was like, 10 cents. I was like, uh-uh, he left you 10 cents. You can use that. And he did, but he gave me a bag. Because I was like, all right, what am I going to do with all this cold stuff and all this, like, creamer? And I'm like, oh, I don't have
carry it, murder turtles. Carry yeah. it, murder turtles.
Yeah, murder turtles.
Dick.
I needed a bag.
There are gay turtles.
Yes! I was on the same page, yeah. and that really hurt.
Well, maybe the ones that like Donald Trump. Anyway.
That's not nice.
I know, but then again, who am I?
That's a good point.
All right, so I didn't do anything too fun. I did something very strenuous. Oh, my God, I'm using big words.
Oh, you sound like the president when he's scripted.
Oh, Lord have mercy. That was horrible.
I know. He said the word malice. Donald Trump doesn't know what the word malice means. Sorry, continue.
Not a day in his life. No, but what I ended up doing was is on Friday, because it wasn't going to rain this whole weekend, I ended up power washing my deck, which I've been meaning to stain for the past 2.5 years. And we finally stained it. And so
it looks good.
It does look
literally
good.
Took us 2 days.
It was a little inconvenient for me because now my car couldn't really fit in the driveway.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that. I was like, she almost in the street.
I know. So it looks great.
But it's selfish.
But it's selfish.
At the end of the day, it's selfish.
This but, intern, man.
We'll be taking applications.
Everything had to come off of the deck, like including the table and the chairs and the umbrella and the plants. And now everything has to go back up. Maybe if y'all bitches help me.
Bitch, I got a broken neck.
You have a broken neck, not broken arms.
Maybe I can push you down the stairs and it'll reset.
Right?
I'm up for anything. I'm up for anything. Here, anyway. Right?
So listen, for the sake of time, we do have a good show for you today. We've got 15 minutes before we go to break because we've got the amazing Dr. G joining us. But we do have a couple of stories that we wanted to get to. So I'm going to throw it over to the boys. Chris, why don't you lead with yours? Because they're just both equally horrible.
No, this one's not horrible. I mean, it's a step in the right direction. Mine's a good one.
No, wait. I was talking about Nick's. Okay, but
she's just terrible. Yeah,
do we want to end on good news?
Yeah, let's end on a good one.
All right, so what's
that? No, my second one's good.
Okay.
Okay, well, why don't you go with your first one so that we can get all rowdy and crazy, and then we'll end with a good one before the break.
All right, so let's start off by acknowledging that once again in America, we lost at least 31 people to two mass shootings this weekend.
That's right.
In El Paso and in Dayton. Our thoughts and prayers are going out to those families, and we still cannot believe that nothing is happening about this epidemic.
Because thoughts and prayers don't do anything.
They don't do anything. And you see those posts on Facebook, thoughts and prayers mean nothing at this point. You know what I mean?
They don't.
But those families still do need our love and our
absolutely. Of course, so, and our understanding given the situation. I mean, it's horrible.
But you know? But we have to do something about it. You know what's funny is my grandfather, who is 88, you would think that, because my father's a Republican, you would think he'd be a Republican. And I called him this weekend, and he was just going off. Like, I am 88. I'm fed up with this bullshit. Like, I'm done with these stupid fucking NRA. I'm done with all this crap. Mm-hmm. People are dying and nobody's doing anything about it. And like, I'm 88 and I don't want to go to the grocery store, but like, I should want to go to the grocery store. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's just how it is today. I mean, it's crazy. And actually, I saw a post earlier today from a friend of mine. His name's Matt. And he posted on Facebook, just FYI, I was talking to somebody about what happens if you're in the mall and there's a shooter on the loose. And his advice that he put on Facebook is every single store that you walk through in the mall has an exit out back. So the closest store you're at, grab whoever you're with and run to the back of the store and out the back of the mall. There's a loading dock. You can get out that way. And so I'm looking at this and I'm like, wow, we have to post about this stuff now.
Exactly.
Yeah, we do.
The comment that you made is that's just how it is today. That's the most disgusting and disturbing reality.
Yeah. So, all right. So I bring this up because obviously it's terrible. We need to acknowledge it. It happened. But we also need to slam somebody. Because,
oh, Lord.
That's what we do. So a Southwest Ohio politician blames shooting on drag queen advocates and open borders. Her name is Candace Keller. And she literally tweeted something along the lines of, these mass shootings are blamed on drag queen advocates, homosexual marriage, and open borders, even our former President Barack Obama. Now, that being said, the Republicans in Ohio are calling for her resignation.
Which they should.
Yeah, and everybody should rally around that, because who fucking says that?
Right.
This person that shot at these people had nothing to do
with the LGBT community.
Or with the open fucking border. He was a white American citizen.
Well, of course. Well, that's the majority of the mass shootings that are taking place are due to white supremacists and white nationalists. So these people, especially when you look at the shooting that took place in El Paso, this man hated Mexican immigrants.
He drove hours to get to El Paso to do that.
To gun these people down.
Yes.
And they say that this Republican is blaming the disease on drag queens and homosexual marriage and President Obama. No, the symptom is white supremacy. The disease is President Trump and his Republican goons that are sitting back and doing nothing to take care of this virus that has swept across our nation for far too long.
Here's what she put on Twitter.
I was just about, yeah. You can read it.
Okay, so she goes, after every mass shooting, the liberals start the blame game. Why not place the blame where it belongs? The breakdown of traditional American families, thank you, transgender, homosexual marriage, and drag queen advocates, fatherlessness and subject. A subject no other discusses or believes is relevant. The ignoring of violent video games, the relaxing of laws against criminals, open borders. In parentheses. The acceptance of
recreational marijuana,
failed school policies, hello parents who defend misbehaving students, disrespect to law enforcement, thank you, Obama, hatred to our veterans, thank you, professional athletes who hate our flag and national anthem, and on and on and on. Anyway, she doesn't deserve for us to even give her the time of day. The point is, this woman is just pure, unequivocal hatred.
Okay, so
it's all embodied in all of that.
There's one thing in her tweet that I will acknowledge as something that makes sense. Just one. And that is people ignoring violent video games. I think that that is a serious issue.
Agreed.
And I think that parents need to be more aware of that. But everything else in here, everything else that she's saying in here is, especially when she goes on to say about parents not... parents who defend misbehaving students. Mm-hmm. Honey, right now you're a misbehaving senator? Am I right saying that?
Maybe state senator? She is...
Oh. A politician.
Anyway.
She's a misbehaving politician, and she needs to be...
Yeah, she's a representative.
She needs to be put in her place, because her rhetoric, what she is saying right now, is then causing more hatred and more violence to ensue, because she is empowering people to agree with what she thinks is correct, which is not correct and not the reason these people were gunned down. These people were gunned down because a white terrorist has a mental issue and it needs to be dealt with, and because the NRA doesn't have strong enough laws against common sense gun reform. We need to really support what the fuck is going on in our nation. We need to change everything.
Absolutely, but the NRA does not have laws. The NRA is a lobbyist conglomerate. They infiltrate the United States government with loads and loads of money. That's what it is. The NRA needs to be defeated. They don't set the laws. Well, at the end of the day, you know what? They do set the laws, because
all
these Republicans,
these
Republicans who let them line their pockets with cash are voting against,
you know, it's
everything
not just Republicans,
for common sense.
Though.
That is true.
That
is true.
Statement, but...
That is true. I agree. And I need to call, and that's why I am an independent because the Democrats do fall short on a lot of this, too. Mm-hmm. Now, the president, he fell short today. He said that he would support red flag laws for those who are suffering from mental illness to keep them from obtaining firearms. He is saying that he wants to look into the violent video games that are being overlooked for far too long. I mean, Grand Theft Auto. Remember growing up with that game?
Yeah.
That just where you can just beat up hookers and old people and steal cars yeah. and fly planes into buildings.
But like, you know what? That's not enough. I mean, like you can put the idea by playing a video game in someone's head, and that is true. We need to look at these video games and really decide how and who should be playing them, right? And really limit what these kids should be doing. But at the same time, if we just do that, that's not enough.
No, it's not enough. Even look at the game that person put out there. I don't know if it actually really, he completed the game, but remember it was a game of mocking the shooting at Club Pulse, where you're a mass shooter and you're going around and you're shooting people who are running around with rainbow flags and everything like that. He created a game where your goal is to kill as many homosexuals as possible. We talked about this on the show.
Was I here?
I think so. Yeah. It was some time ago, but
it's been a while.
But this is something that also needs to be regulated, and the Republicans don't like regulation. They like to deregulate things. And then you also have to look at these massive stores that are carrying these firearms, too. That's it. Walmart, where the shooting took place in El Paso. Excuse me.
Cracking.
Yeah, I'm getting a little excited here. They're one of the largest suppliers of firearms and ammunition across the country. Across the country. And by reducing the firearms in stores such as this, one, it would reduce the highest epidemic of gun violence, which is suicide.
Yeah. After seeing all this weekend, I'm just flabbergasted.
I think that she deserves a big fuck her.
I was taking a sip. Fuck her.
Yeah, no, she needs to be. And I really hope that the people in Ohio and the not only Republican representatives, but any other representative in Ohio really force her out because her rhetoric is
dangerous.
Disgusting.
Right. And John Kasich should be speaking out against her. He, you know, the former governor of Ohio, all these people should be speaking out, and she should be either removed, resigned, or even better, taken out in the ballot box.
Yeah. You know what? What makes me crazy is I just don't understand. Like, so she was elected into office, and we talk about all these people that go in with guns and we think they have mental issues or whatever is going on with them. And then you see somebody tweet something like this. They're a politician. They're in some way a leader of a community. And then you think to yourself, I think this person might have a mental disorder.
Right. Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Like, I mean, to drive someone to go and attack communities that are part of her jurisdiction, that are part of her area that she represents, because I can guarantee you there will be someone from the LGBT community that literally lives in your district, and you are representing them too. And when you come out with language like this and you start disparaging people that are not part of what you think should be the it crowd, you are literally damaging and doing damage to your constituents, your own constituents. And that by de facto should be a sense of or reason for your
removal.
Dismissal and removal immediately.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, for 100%. I mean, like, she's literally targeting minority groups. And this is exactly what happened in Germany. Hitler targeted a minority group and scapegoated them for all of Germany's problems. And I know it's a stretch here, but what she's doing here is the same exact thing. She's targeting a minority group for a very huge epidemic in America and literally placing blame for no reason. That makes it makes no sense.
Okay. No, you're right. And reaching to Hitler is a stretch, but it is there. But the reason that this is happening and it's pushed for politicians to do is because of our own commander-in-chief. Our president of the United States is doing the same thing that Hitler did. Yes. Our president is scapegoating a minority group. Our president is putting these people in cages and tearing their families apart. Our president is telling white supremacists to stand up and fight for this, even though he condemns them when they write a script for him. Our president is allowing chants like send her back, and saying that he can't do anything about it. Our president can't do anything.
Oh, he said he changed the subject, but he really didn't.
You know what?
Yeah. On that note,
yeah. Let's. So I think that was a great conversation, guys.
Yes, it was. It was amazing.
And Chris, I almost kicked the soapbox out from under you because you nailed it.
But... Anyway,
can we talk about that meme I sent earlier this week real quick before we go on break?
Go for it.
My favorite meme that I sent this week was Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, my God.
And Bernie Sanders the Democratic debate, and somebody had put blurbs above both their heads. And above, Pete Buttigieg said, "I'm verse." And then above Bernie, it said, "He's lying." What did he say?
He's lying. I'm looking at it right now.
There's no way. He's lying. Like, I almost died.
And it's the way that they're looking at each other. Like, Pete is looking, even though I think it's actually a really good thing that they're talking about right here. I believe it's when Pete said, "I don't give a damn how old you are. I care about your vision." But it's perfect. It's perfect. He's lying.
He's lying. I'm first. He's lying.
You guys are too much.
So funny.
All right. So listen, shall we go to break?
Yeah.
All right. So listen, we're going to take a break. We'll leave you with some music. And when we come back, we have Dr. G. Here we go.
It's hard to see you with a man you call your friend, but in the end, I know I don't have much time to tell you why I wanna die, but then I cry, so then I lie, so I don't make you bend time. 'Cause if you
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was the amazing Pat Riley with Time, his most recent release. And now joining us, of course, to discuss some loose holes is the amazing Dr. G. Welcome back, Dr. G.
Well, thank you. Do you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you. I'm just going to give you a little bit more volume, but yes.
Are you driving?
All right. No, I pulled over to the side of the road. I totally spaced that.
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine.
I was going to tell our listeners, don't worry. He's using hands-free device, but...
Well, here's my thing. He's a New Yorker. I'm like, how is he driving
That's
a car?
That's what I said, too.
What's
that
going
yours?
On your summers?
Well, I mean, you know, just visiting you and then having you on the show and, you know, the norm.
That's great. That's great. What are we talking about tonight, by the way?
Loose assholes.
Yes.
Loose assholes. All right. What do you guys want to know?
Can you hear us okay, first and foremost?
I can totally hear you.
Perfect. Fantastic.
So the tale that we're talking about tonight is what to do if you have a loose anus.
Do you remember this one? Let's talk about it. Yes, I do. You want me to set the stage for this?
Oh, I would love for you to set the stage.
Set the stage.
All right. So this guy came to me, that he was a client of mine, and I did an examination on him, and he didn't even know that I was actually in his hole when I was examining him.
What?
And so, yeah, I give the usual play by play that I'm going to, you know, it's going to be cold and lubricated and there's going to be the insertion. And then literally I did like two scrapings. I did a full examination inside and he didn't feel me. So we were, you know, obviously finished with the exam and we're talking about everything after in the office. And, you know, he was embarrassed, obviously, to talk about it, but we really broke everything down. And he's like, you know, yeah, you know, my primary partner and some of my others made mention that the sensations have been diminished for them sexually. And now, come to think of it, for me as well, I've had some erectile dysfunction issues. I can't truly get off when someone's inside of me like I did before. And then this spearheaded the conversation further to figure out, like, where are we with this, so, you know, this looseness, and how do I try and make it better? Can I do it medically? Do I need to do it surgically? Things like that.
So can I go back to just when you were performing the
procedure
or exam?
Examination.
Yeah.
Examination.
When you saw this person's, you know, anus, butthole, whatever, could you tell, like, was there like, okay, this person is loose, he has some muscular atrophy around the area, or was it very surprising to you to hear that he did not notice at all that you were performing these procedures?
No, I think that, you know, you could definitely tell when someone is having some issues, simply because, you know, I asked people to squeeze around my finger. I could feel the three muscles. Are the muscles fully contracting? Are they engaging? And then you can kind of tell the sensations from doing that as to, are they truly loose? Is it just kind of situational? And then do they have sensations? Obviously, I'll ask and talk and say, hey, do you feel this? Is it painful? Is it pleasurable? All those types of things to get a little bit better sense as to truly what's going on back there.
But there's no actual, like, hot dog down the hallway kind of thing, right?
Oh, my God.
Sometimes there is, you know, especially when I put someone under anesthesia, you know, because someone is so relaxed, sometimes you see their whole fully relaxed before you even do anything. So, yes, you're right. There definitely are people. But the thing is that it truly depends, because some people want fists, some people want big ass, right? And use big tools. And to them, even there is a small little hot dog opening, they're still able to get sensations on the big side of things. Does that make sense?
I got that. Okay.
Yeah, totally. It makes sense.
So I think it's all relative. It's all relative.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're getting a little grainy on our end with your audio. So if you'd like to, you can turn off the video because that would help the audio.
Let me see.
He looks like the Human Torch right now. Like, he's just like freaking glowing.
Well, he's pretty.
All right.
How's that?
Is that better?
That is better.
Okay. So much. So, yeah, because you're probably pulling so much data trying to do audio and video, and audio is just fine for the sake of our listeners.
Not for us, but.
So, Chris had asked a question, was it, because you were cutting off a little bit. So, what is it like, you know, just throwing a freaking hot dog in a hallway? Is that what you said?
It is, of course.
Let's review that a little bit again.
Yeah, so I think it really is all relative, because there are definitely some people that want really big toys, big cock, and even if there's a small hot dog opening in the beginning, it's going to be fully engaged with whatever they're doing. So it just depends. There are definitely people that are very loose and they're okay with that because they're still able to have great sensations and get people off. And then there are people that can definitely sense that they are dilating a little bit too much and they have some erectile dysfunction issues. They can't get off or their partners can't get off. So it's really kind of situational.
So I wanted to ask you about that erectile dysfunction thing. If somebody's getting fucked and they have a loose anus, for lack of better term.
No, that's actually the proper term.
What we're talking about, right. Do you find that men have a harder time getting hard, staying hard, and getting off if the individual themselves is the bottom and they're having a hard time getting hard? Is that because they're loose or something else? Because in the story, it talks about age, but...
Yeah, I think it's a little bit multifactorial as well, because, I mean, there are definitely people that when you're receiving... they can't get hard or get off with someone inside them, right? Okay. And then there are definitely people that can absolutely get off. Now, this guy, for years, was able to get off with his partner or partners inside of him. And then probably because of, one, his age, but also the looseness, it just didn't stimulate him anymore to keep his erections. Okay. So, again, I think it really depends. Like, can you get off with someone inside of you?
Yes,
I can.
Oh, and we know about you. You don't.
Wait, which one were you talking about? Me or Tom?
Me. No. Over there, the one that didn't answer.
Exactly. I was like, are you serious? He was clearly
talking
about me.
She's a bottom now because of you.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But I don't know. I think it's probably 50-50. It's 50-50 of who can actually get off with people inside.
Really?
And so I think,
no.
Yeah, and I think...
Not saying you're wrong, I'm saying no.
I always just say that it's because you haven't had the right person inside of you, but...
Maybe, it's only been one and it was satisfactory.
I actually I find that when I'm ejaculating inside of me, it is actually one of the best sensations ever.
Anyway, I agree, but anyway, I want to ask you another question. So now we're talking about people that are very active bottoms that could potentially see over time this happen where they have a loose anus. And how does one go about preventing that without necessarily seeing a doctor? Are there things you can do?
Yes.
If you're getting fisted or so on and so forth.
Yes, I think a couple of things. One is a lot of people use toys to dilate and stretch, and the times that you're doing that, you should also contract on the smallest of butt plugs and kind of like you're going to the gym, really squeeze on it, hold it for 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second, and then relax. So it's like doing a Kegel exercise around a small butt plug. And you should try to do that about two to three times a week would be ideal. But a lot of people, you know, just don't have the time to do that. So periodically, one to do that. The other is if you're going to the gym and you're doing squat work, when you're doing squats or kettlebells, not only engage the glutes so that your ass looks pretty, but actually engage the entire hole. So you're pulling that in and trying to keep that as tight as possible. Also, we're working with there's like a new thing called M-Sculpt. A lot of people are using it for their abdominals where it's like doing 20,000 sit-ups at once. So now you can actually use this device to stimulate muscle in that region and really help to see if we can build better muscle tone to allow people to not have the looseness. Gotcha. And then obviously we get into more so the surgical route, which there's certain things that I can do to kind of tighten the area depending upon the severity and whether or not those other things help people.
That's very interesting. So there is some sort of remedy. Like, what happens if you're too far gone? I mean, what are the repercussions of being a bottom for such a long time? And then what happens when you get to a certain age? Like, for example, when you're like in your 60s or 70s or 80s, do you think that having a loose butthole could affect how you are going to, for example, manage just a simple bowel movement when you get older?
Like, is there a point of no return kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a couple of things. Some people can get such looseness that they can't first hold whether or not they're going to fart, whether or not they're going to shit. They're not able to fully hold that in. Sometimes other people can get what's called prolapse, which is a portion of the insides is actually coming out. Mm-hmm. And I see it a lot more in people that are into really big dicks or big toys or fists. Over time, the muscle itself can open up, but then will not close back down, and you wind up getting, like you said, kind of a little bit of a hot dog hole that's there all the time. And I think the main issue is, how do we do all of those other things? Also adding physical therapy. There are a really great pelvic floor therapists that are out there that can really help people to kind of engage the core back there and pull things in. If you are too far gone, then I have to do some surgery. And one of the surgeries is basically called a plication, which is based where I remove some of the extra skin that's there, some of the hemorrhoidal tissue, and then I start to sew the muscle and pull the muscle in tighter so that now you're able to have kind of obviously a narrower lumen that you could feel, have the sensations, and hopefully avert all the other things.
Now, does this have any effect on like the rectum?
Like the rectum's higher up. But if you don't have the capacity of the muscle in that area, when you are shitting and you're engaging with a lot of force, you can start to injure the rectum as well. And that's where the prolapse happens. Mm-hmm. And then if someone has a significant amount of prolapse, then you're right. My procedure would not be the procedure of choice. We would actually have to go in and kind of remove some of the rectum and plicate the muscle to kind of reconstruct that entire area. So I think the key from this conversation is for us to really empower people to not only take big dicks, because we all love to take big dicks, but it's also, how do we combat years of taking big dicks? And how do we start doing things now early on in everyone's bottoming career so that we could prevent this looseness issue from really being a main issue?
So if you already have looseness and you're now in your 40s or 50s, do you think, how successful is the surgery that you just described in perhaps preventing someone who are in their golden years from having very significant issues with not being able to hold their bowel movements or any other situation?
So keeping in your butthole is what he's talking about too. Yeah. Like the prolapse, like the anus actually comes out of you a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really, again, I wish I had more definitive answers because it really becomes so situational. But I think the key component is depending upon where people want to go. So if people want to continue bottoming, continue fisting, then we have to come up with a little bit of a happy medium,
right,
to figure out, because I can't tighten so much that then all of a sudden they can't get anything in their ass. So yes, oh great, you're absolutely holding your farts and your shits, but like you can't take my dick in your ass. You know, it's like, yeah. I mean, who would want that? You know,
right? And here's another thing too. If you do, so you have performed this on this individual, and in the story it says it took him about 6 months, and then he said sex was better than ever again. He felt like he was 25 again, which was amazing. But do you foresee yourself having to perform this again on this individual, or are you giving him tools in which you won't have to do that again?
Hopefully the former, which is giving him tools, etc. Now, most people that come to me with looseness, what I'll do is I'll only fix one side at a time. Because what I find is like I can do surgery on the left side, I could do surgery on the right side. Now, most of the time, if I just do one side at a time, one, it's an easier healing capacity, but then two, people are able to see the benefit that we're trying to achieve. And a lot of times just doing one side gets them X amount of years of play. And then I could always do the other side.
Are you still there?
Depending upon where you want. Did you lose me?
A little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit.
Hello?
We heard you up until I could do one side.
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Do you hear me now?
Still a little sketchy.
All right, let me see.
Oh, there you go. You're good.
Shit.
You're good.
Now you're good. Don't move.
Okay. So I was saying that I usually do one side at a time because most of the time one side will actually achieve the goals that we want to, and then it saves the other side for if later in life I need to do another round. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Is that what you did on this individual?
Yes.
Okay.
I only did one side, tightened it, fixed it, and then we're there. And then hopefully with them seeing our pelvic floor therapist, with us doing the Kegels and working with their sports therapist, that we can prevent issues from happening in the future.
And so I want to talk about two more things, unless the guys have other things to talk about.
I just have a quick question on that. What's the recovery time for a surgery like that?
Similar to like a hemorrhoid or a fissure, you know, it's usually 3 to 5 days of not loving me, and I'll give you drugs and you'll smoke weed and get through it. and then it's 1 to 2 weeks of, then it's usually 1 to 2 weeks of this is really bad during bowel movement time. Yeah. And then most people are back dilating and stretching and back to anal play at about 2 months. Full bottoming is about 3 months.
Nice. Yeah, I feel like I would not be eating anything. Like, after the surgeries I had, I was living on fucking Ensure. Like, I was like, I refuse to poop.
So, I want to touch on two more things before we let you go. I know you've had a really long day, and thank
and
you so much.
She's on the side of the road.
Thank you so much for calling in, because I just actually got a phone from your firm, your marketing firm, and they were like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, Dr. G can't be on the call today. And I'm like, we're on the phone with him right now. And they're like, oh, okay. So I wanted to know if you could talk about some basic symptoms of when you know it's time to go see a doctor about what's going on down there.
Very good.
Yes. Okay. So I think one, if your sexual pleasure is not where you want it to be, then you can start what we had spoken about, kind of the medical treatment of seeing if you can kind of tighten it and use toys the right way, and go that route. If after you've tried that over, let's say, 4 to 6 weeks, and you're still having issues from a sensation perspective, then you should probably come in for an evaluation and see what's going on. We'll make sure that we're not missing something else, and then kind of plot the appropriate plan of action. If you're can't hold your farts, or you know, during the day there's leakage, then clearly we're a little bit beyond where we want to be, and then probably the best thing is to pop up in so that we could see really operating a friend and kind of using the medical route, or vice versa. Hear me?
Yeah, sort of. We heard most of that.
Yeah, you can put it together. You can put it okay. together. You had to think for a second, but you can put it together.
Yeah. I also.
I'm so sorry, guys.
No, it's fine. Not at all. We get it.
We're at the mercy of technology. We understand.
I also want to point out, too, that I don't know how long this patient has been with you, but he clearly states in the client's tale of the tale that he does yearly come in for what we're calling an anal pap smear. And I don't know if you wanted to talk to that a little bit and just say how important it is to have that checked out every year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the nice thing about anal pap smears is obviously cancer prevention from HPV, the virus. And it really mitigates one's cancer risk. But the realistic thing is that when you're doing the pap smear, you're actually taking a look at all these things. You're looking externally, you're looking internally, you're looking at the muscle, you're trying to figure out, and then it really spearheads the appropriate conversation of where are you sexually? Are you happy where you are? Where do you want to go? And it really just starts to break down the barriers. No judgment, no bias, but allows the client to then really literally be in the driver's seat of trying to figure out how they could get to where they want to be. And some people are exactly where they want to be, and we just make sure that we're doing a yearly check and keeping them literally in check to make sure that there's no other problems that arise.
Can I ask a stupid question? I mean, it's probably no question is stupid, but I know that HPV can cause cancer, especially anally or for women. But that being said, do you see an increase in anal cancer in men that bottom besides HPV outside of that? Or is that just...
So the yes, the usual kind of scenario for HPV and anal cancers is HIV is a bottom, obviously positive high risk HPV. So there's certain different parameters that fit that. But I've been in practice for now 10 years. And now that HIV is a very chronic disease and most people are controlled on their medications, the likelihood is that you're not going to get anal cancers. And especially if you're doing an anal pap smear once a year and you're doing full checks, I have, you know, I in my entire career, I see a ton of assholes every fucking day. Mm-hmm. And in my entire career, I have seen 2 anal cancers come to me. Wow. And they came to me when they had symptoms of bleeding and issues for years and years and years and never had it checked up.
Right.
I have yet to see someone come to me with doing pap smears, seeing people and doing the right thing. I have yet to see someone develop anal cancer from that.
So it sounds like complete correlation with zero fact of causation.
Then. Yeah. So you can bottom all you want, and you don't have to worry about cancer. When cancer comes into play, it's when you you contract an STD potentially.
Yeah, obviously it's the HPV STD that causes it, but we all have HPV, so I'm not concerned so much of which types we have, other than finding out, do we have a high risk type, and is that a type that potentially has a higher risk for cancer? And then it would streamline kind of how we evaluate everybody. Sometimes I evaluate people every 3 to 6 months instead of a year, and we would do other tests to make sure that anal cancer does not develop. Does that make sense?
Yes, completely.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I know that you've had a really long day and I don't want to keep you on too long. And that was a wonderful conversation. I don't know if you have anything you want to wrap up with this conversation or if the boys have anything they want to add.
I just feel like...
I mean, given the story and what we were talking about, I pretty much... all my questions were answered regarding the matter. My concern was, you know, was there a surgical procedure that could be done and what was the recovery process for that? And we've covered that brilliantly.
Yeah. And I'm just hoping that you didn't get a parking ticket.
No. I'm all good. I think the key is we have to keep having these conversations because there are so many people out there that are loose as a fucking goose and they think that that's normal. And they think that, well, that's how sex should feel.
Right.
And so the realistic picture is that if sex doesn't feel either too painful or not enough pain, right? Whatever it is that you want to achieve sexually, if you are not there, then there's something clearly wrong.
Yeah.
And there's so many things that we can do to now evaluate people and give people their sex life back to what they want. And that's the empowerment of what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Goldstein 2020.
I'm telling you.
That's it.
So I just want to leave this conversation with kind of a funny note. So when I saw you last week in New York, I told you that I was in the car with my boss.
One of the assholes.
And you have a couple of segments that were pre-recorded and they're on my phone. And so I turn on my car and my Bluetooth connects. And I told you this in your office, but I remembered exactly what you said. And you're going to get a kick out of this because my boss sits down in my car. The car starts up. We start driving. And then all of a sudden, there's Dr. Goldstein's voice. So let's talk about milking the prostate. My boss was like, what are you listening to? I was like, oh, that's my show.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
So I thought I'd share that with you.
All right. Well, listen, Dr. So G. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so to be a part of 2020, follow us on Instagram, read Medium, blog, talk about it, and we'll continue this show, and it's been great, and we love you guys, and thank you for having us on here.
Oh, we love you.
It's always absolutely a pleasure having you on the show. You know, it's our highlight of the month, to be honest with you, because again, the conversations that we're having are very important ones. Yes, they are sometimes hilarious to read and serious to acknowledge. We have to acknowledge the seriousness behind these stories, but they're equally amazing and important because they can save many lives.
Oh, you know what? You've become like our enjoyable period. Like you, I look forward to that period.
Thank you so much. I hope I'm not hemorrhaging that much right now.
No, you're wonderful.
Blooming.
Oh, God. All right.
Well, Dr. G, on
that
note,
all right, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. Yes. And we look forward to next month's Tales from the Tale. And thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Thanks
so
much.
You
bye.
Too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well,
first, I want to say, hold on.
Gents, that was the amazing Dr. G. As always, he joins us on a monthly basis to talk about some amazing stuff that he puts on his blog. Go to medium.com, look on Dr. Evan Goldstein, and read his stuff. Some of it's really funny, but then it's very serious. But there's a lot of really good details and information on how to avoid many things. So read it.
Christopher, first, I just want to point out that like Nick was all being like politically correct the whole time, like for lack of better terms, anus, and the doctor's like your hole, your booty hole, like.
So it's always a fun time. Like I said, that we literally go through, try to get through a conversation without laughing, or like giggling, or really taking into stride what this man does. His work is very important, mm-hmm. especially for
Absolutely.
Our community. Yeah.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, if you get something really good out of it, make sure you reach out to them, you know, like them on Facebook. They're on Instagram.
Did I mention that I went to see him last week when I was on the show? Did
yes.
we talk about that?
A little bit. Well, you did say that you just went to see him and you had your boss in the car.
No. When I went to New York.
Right.
And saw him in person.
I think you brought it up last week.
I don't remember.
And you mentioned that as a result of your visit, your boss got in the car and heard...
No.
Okay.
My boss got in the car for another meeting at a different date and that popped on the radio.
Well, Dr. G.
But I got to see Dr. G last week or the week prior and it was so great
week
to
prior,
see him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was wonderful to see him. But that's anyway. Nice.
I have yet to meet the great doctor. Can you imagine that? I have to take a trip into the city.
I've had him in me.
Did you squeeze on his finger?
No, she I was shaking the whole... She did not prolapse. Fuck you.
I'm sitting in the waiting room like, oh.
Oh, Lord have mercy. So listen.
He's my first. He's
one
my
of the
first.
Things,
you are a lucky motherfucker.
I know. One of the things.
I played my cards right.
Boys.
I was waiting for that.
Boys.
And I had to fucking set it up for you. What am I?
Boys. We have a promo to play. Here's a promo for CD Sweden 2019. I cannot with you.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Tolv, the new true wireless headphones from Studio, the company bringing you awesome headgear with amazing sound quality in a variety of styles to meet your listening needs. Get your hands on the new Tolv today. Use discount code GAYTALK15 and get 15% off your entire order. And remember, it's free shipping worldwide. Visit Studio.com today to get yours. Now, back to the show.
All right. So good thing we got that out of the way because we needed to. And all right. So, boys, you were giggling and smiling and laughing and doing all that good stuff.
Yeah, it was like the intern's yelling at us. What's happening?
I know, right? It's like, she doesn't even really go here yet.
I cannot with them. Anyway, we still have a story that we have to cover before we move into all the other amazing stuff. So why don't we throw it over to Nick? Because I believe this one's yours.
No, Chris's story.
It's my turn.
Is it?
It's yours? My turn. Yeah, and I can like pretty much see that box of rubbers. So let's get this over with.
All right, Christopher.
Yeah. So no, it's kind of fallen short. It's in the right direction, but North Carolina's governor is ending funding of conversion therapy on minors. This came out last Friday that he was going to end state-sponsored conversion therapy of LGBTQ young people. Roy Cooper, who defeated his Republican opponent, I'm blanking on his name.
That's okay. She don't go here.
Pat McCrory, right. He, in 2016, defeated him. So Roy Cooper issued an executive order on this past Friday directing the state's Department of Health and Human Services to cease the use of federal and state funds for the harmful and discredited practice of trying to turn minors straight. Executive Order number 7 declares that, quote, being LGBTQ is an innate quality and is not a disease, disorder, illness, deficiency, or shortcoming. So they're moving forward to make sure that this practice is no longer going to be taking place under federal funds in the state of North Carolina, as it referenced alarming statistics from the Trevor Project, a group that provides a lifeline for at-risk youths, saying that 42% of LGBTQ people who have undergone this atrocious, discredited, and harmful conversion therapy process have attempted or committed suicide.
Not to mention that 42% is super high, but on top of that, within the LGBTQ plus community, the suicide rate or attempted suicide rate is extraordinarily high in comparison to the heterosexual community. So then you think on top of it, you're adding that 42% that have gone through this situation. So we as individuals need to really recognize the fact that we have things that we can do to make change. Mm-hmm. And what this person did was do that exact thing. I mean, we need to stop putting people in scenarios in which they want to hurt themselves. We need to embrace them and love mm-hmm. them. And stuff like this is just increasing the risk.
Right. Absolutely.
When our risk is already so high.
Right. And it's going, he tweeted on August 2nd, conversion therapy has been shown to pose serious health risks, and we should be protecting all of our children, including those who identify as LGBTQ, instead of subjecting them to a dangerous practice. Now, this is going to become political because this was an executive order
that the
governor signed in. Yeah, but it's an executive order. So now it's not banning conversion therapy across the state of North Carolina, but what it's doing is it's saying that no longer will funds be allowed for this, and this is now going to have to go through the House and the Senate of that state to officially ban the atrocious practice of conversion therapy.
Which I'm hoping it'll happen soon because, again, you know, state after state, one by one, we're starting to see
this domino
a lot
effect
of them banning it. And once we get to the point where we have, and I've said this before, about 34 states
34,
under,
yep.
Only at 18, so
the belt, I think that we'll see a national call for either a legislative initiative at the House and Senate for the U.S. to pass something that would ban it nationwide, or someone's going to end up suing in the Supreme Court.
Right. It'll either go down to a constitutional amendment or a Supreme Court hearing.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. At that point, we better have a different administration or we're fucked. So,
well, yeah, at that point, we will, because regardless of if it's for better or bad, but it's going to still take some time.
So, that was an amazing story. Thank you, Christopher, for informing us on that, because it is very important. One of the most important topics that we constantly talk about on the show is conversion therapy and the states that are banning it, and those that are left, that are still left to ban the atrocious, practice. It just needs to go away. We do have, and I think that this is a fun story to talk about, and I wanted to talk about it. So, Nick, why don't you tell us what you have here in regards to an Oregon teen that turned?
So, I would disagree with you by saying fun.
Well, I wouldn't say fun, but
inspiring, uplifting, maybe.
Yeah, but he took something.
Yeah. So, yeah. An Oregon teen turned a homophobic graffiti attack on him. Him and his family, really, they marked up his family's car with fag and the individual's name, but he turned it into a teachable moment. So evidently, reading through this article, I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to read the article for you, but reading through the article, you hear about the stories about this individual. He was being bullied. He was being called a girl. And his family has stepped in, and there is an investigation at the school level. There are some different organizations that are helping out, trying to figure out how to help and support this individual and individuals like him in that school. That being said, so one morning he woke up and his family car had graffiti on it. And instead of course, he was mad and upset, but instead of taking it and turning it into anger and hate and this huge fight, what he did was he drew on his driveway LGBTQ plus. He added a couple other letters as well, and really made it beautiful with rainbows above everything. Not that this individual, there is no inclination that this individual is gay. If he's bi, if he's asexual, we don't know. But he took it and he took the power away from the people. And I know that we talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. He took what they were doing against him and said, you know what? I'm going to support this community, my community, if it's his community, the community, because this is ridiculous. There's no reason for this.
Yeah.
But there's also beauty in the story. There are a couple of companies that, two companies, I believe, that got involved and actually took care of fixing the car. So for free.
That's amazing.
The community has really rallied behind this individual. His name is Jacob Nelson. He's from Salem, Oregon. And he deserves so many claps because at the age of 14 it is so hard to overcome the hatred that a lot of people face. So to Jacob, you get claps.
And that's wonderful. And it's worth noting that the story did say that Jacob was struggling as a result of the fact that he did come out to a classmate indicating that he was bisexual.
So I missed that part.
No, that's okay. But, you know, it's just we want to make sure everything's out there. But yeah. Jacob, that's amazing. Thank you for taking something that could have, you know, destroyed most and making it into something that, you know, you live and learn, and then you try to, you know, you get lemons, you make lemonade.
Yeah, but you know? There's also probably a lot of other LGBTQ plus people in your community that
you helped
have seen that or have experienced that, and your strength probably inspired them to be better.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
To stand up and go above the hatred, because you can't sit in the hatred. You got to go above it.
That's right.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to move on to one of the final, well, a few things that we have before we wrap it up. Of course, that one of those things is Mama Kim's Minute. So,
yes.
Back to Trish, because, you know, she's the one that's spearheading the whole thing. And I'm going to have Christopher give us a little timer over there with his phone. And Trish?
All right.
And go!
All right, everybody. Here's Mama Kim's Minute. So, number one, they are married. They drive a truck together and vlog their lives. Two, 1 million moms, fuck them, protest Whole Foods over drag event. Absolute filth. They're disgusting. Three, North Carolina is the first in the South to ban funding in conversion therapy.
Oh,
we talked
yay.
About this already. Four, Justin Trudeau, who we love, becomes the first Canadian PM to visit a gay bar. Five, San Francisco names SFO terminal after slain gay icon Harvey Milk.
Fantastic. The cursive was there, but the product
no,
was
it wasn't.
There. Ish.
No.
Ish.
No.
But you made it in
disagree.
Time, right? That's what counts. All right.
Yeah. I disagree. There was no cursive there.
Slain, and you're like, okay. What does PM mean?
No, first of all, I was going to say Prime Minister.
That was a good question.
But then I was like, it says PM. And then slain, you're right. I did fuck that up.
A little bit. All right.
Just a whittle.
Oh, wait. Guys, guess what? It's back to me.
Oh,
this
lovely.
Week's Gay Talk term brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com. Every week, I think you guys are going to change it without telling me.
We might.
Just to see what you do.
Eyewash. So this week's Gay Talk term is eyewash, cheap champagne, by extension, any cheap liquor. I'm just here trying to revive this cow with some eyewash.
That's like my life.
You just insulted me.
And me.
No, but you're not a cow.
Yeah, but I'm going to go buy eyewash on my way home.
Lord have mercy, I cannot. All right, Christopher.
My turn?
Yes.
So on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com.
Still thought you were going to change it that time.
I keep wanting to say UnicornBooty.com.
I keep wanting to say StudioSweden.com.
It's not Studio Sweden anymore. I know. It's Studio.com.
I know. They should change it back. It's right there for all our viewers.
In the back, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Make all sure right. you use GayTalk 15 as your discount code. You get 15% off. And it's free shipping worldwide.
All right. Go. Gay history time. All right. On this day in gay history, August 5th, 1995. In the greatest country in our country, the United States of America, President Clinton ended the denial of federal security clearances to LGBTQ people. The president signs an executive order which reverses a policy dating from the Cold War that deemed gays vulnerable to blackmail.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, listen. Bill. All right, listen, guys, if you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as our episodes are published. As most of you know, you can support us on Patreon, which is a service that allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a pledge donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Chris?
Yeah, I'm excited for this. This sounds fun. Next week, we welcome Caswell, who recently launched a hilarious new podcast, quote, It's a Mess, with Miss Peppermint. It's a mess. We're going to be best friends.
Yeah, no, you have no idea. It's literally an amazing show.
We're going to be best friends.
So Caswell and Miss Peppermint, if you don't know, she was one of the contestants on, she's a transgender woman, one of the contestants on RuPaul's Drag Race. I believe it was season 10. She was first runner up God, who was
it? Why are you giving her bio right now?
Because she's fierce and I love her.
Okay.
I'm excited. I'm excited. And anyway. It's a Mess is produced with Forever Dog Entertainment. The advice show covers everything from how to tell your coworker their breath smells like an old lobster roll. I know what that's like. To how to get revenge on the boss that fucked you over.
Yes.
I know it said F, but I you know. Come on.
So I've listened to a couple episodes, and I encourage our listeners to listen to a couple before next week because it is literally...
Oh, I'm going
to
check it out. I'm pumped about this.
It's hilarious. I was driving with people in my car last week, and I had it on, and normally I'll turn podcasts off because people don't, you know, like, you have your own thing you want to listen to. And they're like, no, leave it on. Like, it's good. It's really good.
I love the fact how their breath... to tell your coworker that their breath smells like an old lobster roll.
Some of them are
emphasis
like
on
that
old.
Is so vivid.
All right, so thank you to our guest Dr. G for joining us again on today's episode. You can check out all of his Tales from the Tail and many more on his blog at medium.com, and we will post his from tonight on our blog post later this evening. The People's Choice Podcast Awards are here. As you know, nominations are open. If you like or love our show, head on over to podcastawards.com to nominate your favorite LGBTQ plus show,
which is
Gay Talk.
Don't forget 2.0. It. Don't forget it.
Chris?
To nominate. Now, that's not a word. That's not a word.
It's time for you to blah.
Can we put a fucking rubber on this?
Yeah.
Because I can't stand your cursives. The
you screwed it up.
All right. All righty, ladies and gentlemen. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media. Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0. Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0. Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of your web browser where you can leave comments, make suggestions, submit a question for the cast, or submit a question for an individual host, which is typically Chris. You can also call us and submit your question via voice message, and we can answer that for you on our show. The phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. If you need all the digits, it is 334-429-8255. Do not forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.
Bye.